May God bless each one here this morning. Greet you all in the name of Jesus. I'm glad to be here, and I have a message this morning that I have preached before. I thought I was going to have a new one, and I'll ask Tony and Kelvin if you can pass them those papers around. We should have enough copies for all the school children that know how to read and write. So anyway, I was hoping that I have the yesterday afternoon to study on a new sermon I've been thinking a lot about, and I soon decided, you know what, I need more time to study. Plus, I was not feeling great at all yesterday. So I decided to get this message out. I tried to see which one I should preach, re-preach again that I have preached in the past. And maybe my thoughts were a little bit with Wesley. Wesley mentioned about how leaders are tasked to make decisions. And my thought went back to this sermon that I had found these 10 points of making decisions. So maybe I should just open it up while the papers are being passed. What decisions do you face? What all decisions do we have to make in life? Anybody cares to share? You don't have to be so spiritually deep thought either. But what are some decisions that you have to make in life or every day? What to eat? Yeah, the latest face that. What are we going to make for supper? Right? What else? How should I spend my money? What should I work next? I think the mechanics face that pretty often, right, Uncle Jerry? What are the decisions, Roy? Right. Very good. Very good. I think we all agree that life is full of decisions, right? And I still think about that story that Roy told me one time at work. This is getting a little scary. But he told me a story of a farmer, potato farmer. I think he was a potato farmer anyway. We call it potato farmer. And he had this young man, very strong, that could do any physical work. Whatever he put him to do, he'll go and do it. He would dig potatoes like no other could. Well, one day they dug the potatoes, and now they have to sort them out. And he told the young man, big strong man, how to sort them out. And he tried, but he couldn't handle it. He said, I give up. I can't do this. It's too many decisions. Right? He gave up. A simple task of deciding which potato went on which box. That's how I remember it anyway. Maybe I added or subtracted to it. But the point here is that decision-making can be somewhat crippling to some of us. Some of us are not very good at making decisions. Some people are too hasty on making decisions, and they make the wrong decisions. So the point I remember probably in this time, whenever this message was born 5 years ago, maybe I was facing some decisions in life that I was struggling with, and I found this to be helpful, and I was reviewing it as I was looking at what to share, and I said, you know what, this is going to be good for me to go over this again, and I hope it's a blessing to you. So the goal for the message is to make decisions that are wise and right. I think we all want to do that. We all want to do decisions, make decisions that are wise and the right thing to do. So what should we do? There, I have 10 points there on your little paper there. And I know it's hard to remember 3 points, not to mention 10 of them. So that's why I gave you a little piece of paper there. Number one. What biblical principles should inform my decision? And I think this is probably one of the most important ones. As we face decisions, we have to remember the principles of God's word. Am I compromising any biblical decision? Is there anything in the Bible that will help me, guide me in this decision? You know, we can think of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So whenever we need wisdom, we need to go to the word of God. Right? Now, the word of God, I have come to conclude that some things are not spelled out as we wish they would. It gives us a principle to go by, and it's up to us how we're going to apply it. So that's what we need, the wisdom from God, but it comes from the word of God. So we have to remember, what does the Bible say? What are some principles in the Bible that will help me? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So here we have a promise. You take God in consideration in every decision in life, and God will direct you. Now, sometimes it's not as clear as we wish, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So here it encourages us, whatever you do in life, whatever you decide in life, keep it in mind. Your main focus in life is to bring honor and glory to God. And how is this decision I'm going to make? Encourage me on that. Young people can be faced with a lot of decisions. I think it's I remember in my younger years, it's just the older you get, it seems like the more decisions you are faced with. And one of the biggest decisions in life for young people and for all of us, probably the most important decision besides serving Christ or not, is who am I going to marry, right? Who am I going to marry? And some people will ask, well, what would be wrong with me marrying an unbeliever? Maybe through my testimony, I can win a soul for Christ. Well, that could be somewhat of a noble thought, right? But what does the biblical principle? What would be the biblical principle you can apply to a question like that? And that you can think of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Right? So there you have a biblical principle that you should not be in a yoke together with an unbeliever. That could be in business deals. That could be for the older people. What if we have an offer of a businessman coming in a yoke together in a business venture? Maybe he is a financial expert. We are not. But it's an unequal yoke. So you have to make a decision, and you see what I mean? You have Bible principles, right? And you say, well, it sounds good, but I better not do it, because Bible principle could be compromised right here. So there's a lot of biblical principles that should inform our decisions. Think about Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender." That's a biblical principle right there. Now, it doesn't say that we should never borrow money. I know it would be almost impossible to build a house from scratch, right? I don't know how to feel about that, or how to build chicken barns without borrowing money. But the principle here is that if you borrow money, you become a servant to the lender. And the question will be, am I willing to do that? So just things to think about. What does the Bible say about this decision? Who can help me better understand what God's word says about this decision? Those are some things that you can ask. And I will mention this in a couple of my points here. Or the need to ask advice. What need to ask advice? Who can help me better understand what God's word says about this decision? Some things we don't know. What to do? Should I do this? Should I take this route of filing taxes? Is that okay? Am I compromising Bible principles? Number two, facts. Do I have all the facts? Do I have everything here? You buy in a vehicle. Do you know the Carfax on it? Or what is wrong with this? Is it a good purchase or not? The Bible says this in Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. So, of course, you know, we have the school board making decisions. And we try to gather all the facts. What happened? The teacher said this, junior said no, or whatever, you know, the case was. And we try to understand all the facts and try to listen attentively. Same with your children. You want to gather all the facts. What happened at the trampoline? Did he really do that to you? Did he really, whatever. You try to fill all the blanks, all the facts, gather all the facts that you possibly can. Proverbs 18:17 says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. He that is first in his own cause seemeth right, just. I think there's another, I put another version here. It says, the first to plead his cause, his case, seems right, until another comes and examines him. Does that make sense? You know, on our own, we kind of think we know and understand the facts until somebody else gives the other side of the story. And that's whenever we can face the facts. And that's one of the purpose why we have courtship. Courtship is not a biblical term. If you don't know if you ever thought about that, but dating is not actually even in the Bible. But we feel like courtship can be a time when you can examine each other's facts, right? How does he respond to his mom? Right? Girls, you better pay attention to that. How does he treat his sisters? Because that's how he's going to treat you one day. And the same for the boys. How does the girls respond to their dad? And maybe her brothers? Because that's how she's going to treat you someday. You try to analyze the facts, right? I remember when Joyce and I were dating, we went through a little booklet called Before You Say Your Vows by Joan Coblentz. It's a very short book. And one of them had to do with finances. And one of the questions was, how do you feel? Okay, you need a couch at the house. Will you go and buy a new one? That way it matches, everything is perfectly, or are you okay of buying Teen Challenge, for example, that will serve the purpose, but it's not matching? And I'm like, why would you want to study this with your girlfriend? Well, the truth of the matter is, all we're trying to do is establishing the facts. What is your tendency, right? What is your tendency to do this? Are you okay with those kind of things? Those can be the search for facts. We're trying to search him out. So, ask a lot of questions. Don't fall prey to the wishful thinking or let your emotions get the best of you. And that's what the easy part is whenever we're dating. We think our emotions are high and we think that we know the other person is the best. I know I'm picking on the young people right now, but think about making decisions of purchasing something, right? And I think we'll talk about that in the next point as well. But purchasing something, make sure you have all the facts, okay? Understand what credit cards are doing before you say, oh, you can buy it with credit card. Yeah, do you know that you're going to be paying 20% interest on it? Look at the fact. What are you going to pay at the end of the day? Those things can influence our decisions. Remember that there are two sides to every story. Talking about the facts. Number three, the time. Is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? That can be a scary one. I'm glad that the bishops decided, you know what, why don't we have April of 2025 to make a last conference, ministers meeting, giving plenty of time. That way we have everything kind of decided. And now this time is they decided, you know what, we kind of get this ball rolling. Why don't we just let this be the last one? And everybody agreed. But at least they have given plenty of time to make everything decisions. Proverbs 19:2. Also that the soul be without knowledge is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Now, you all know what haste means, right? You get in a hurry. You get in a hurry and you're going to get in trouble if you're in a hurry. Don't try to brush your teeth too much in a hurry, or else you might could damage something in there, right? And you can think of all kinds of things. You leave in a hurry. Huh? You leave in a hurry from the shop. You might bang something. You might drive over something. Or it's not good to be in a big hurry. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty hasteth only to want. So beware of a once-in-a-lifetime deal and the lure of instant gratification. There's some decision salesmen are very good at that. You are in the parking, in the car lot trying to look for a vehicle, and they're going to try to pressure you to make a decision on the spot because they know the power of instant gratification. This vehicle might not be here tomorrow. Some of them say, I have three other people coming to look at it, and you better take advantage of the deal or else you're not going to find it. You remember the salesman of the knives out there at the expo, Ag Expo down in Moultrie, right? He will sell these good-looking knives, and he did a demonstrations how to cut everything and how fantastic these knives are. And he said if you buy them separately, they are cost $80, right? But today, since it's the first day of the expo, we are giving all these four of them, not for $50, not for $30. But given to you for $20. And he said, it's simply, just because it's a beautiful day today, for the first 10 people that give the $20, I'll throw an extra knife in here. And you won't believe how many people are getting the $20 bills right away, right? They don't want to miss the deal. What they don't know is that that batch of people walk out and he does the same thing the next day. The next day is not just because it's the first day of the expo, it's the second day, right? So he gives a good deal. And we like those kind of deals. Beware of those things. And that can be applied to anything in life. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Don't let the pressure of time force you to make a premature decision. Now, I know if it's up to me, a lot of decisions I try to just push the can or kick the can down the road. I know there is a fact, there is a time whenever we, you know what, today we have to decide. There's just no time to wait. I get it. Some things are more time sensitive than others. But just don't let, young people, don't let your emotions, don't let the once in a lifetime deal. I know if you go to a yard sale, maybe you have to make a decision in an instant or else it will be gone if you wait till that afternoon. But don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. I remember my dad was a good example of this. That was kind of his fleas whenever he did a lot of business. He kind of liked to buy things and sell them and make a little profit. Sometimes it did backfire on him, but he always said, you know what, I'm going to let it to God's will. If it's there Thursday, I'm going to get it. If it's not there, it wasn't God's will for me to get it. I think it did work. It did work a lot of times. Sometimes it did. The time crunch got the best of him too. But he, for the most part, he did that. He applied that. When in doubt, leave it out. Play it safe. Play it safe. I know some decisions are more heavier than others. I get it. But young people, make sure you be careful with decisions that you make in a hurry. And all of us. Number four, motives. Motives. What possible motives are driving my decision? Now, this is a tough one. This is a very tough one because we all think that my motive is pure and right. Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth his spirits, the spirits. Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say that? My point is simply that our hearts is deceitful. Our ways look right in our own eyes. And be careful with your motives. There's a couple points under this that we should remember. Acknowledge that you have blind spots. You cannot see the whole picture. Okay? Sometimes it's better whenever we ask other people to share their point of view from their perspective, because they might bring something that you didn't even think about it and that you were blind to it. Honestly assess your motives, both good and bad. What is the motivation of your heart that you want this? You want this and you want it. Why is that? Why do you have that? Give others permission to speak into your life. I already mentioned that. And keep in mind that you cannot please everybody. Whenever we ask advice, we're going to get different kinds of advice. And it would be nice if we could please everybody. But I am old enough to know that some decisions that we make and that we have to make is going to be painful for others, for some people. And for others, it would be the best decision. And if we decide this way, it would be the other way around. So we have to be okay with that. We can't please everybody, that's for sure. But I don't want to just dismiss it either, that we say, well, if I can please everybody, I'm just going to do my thing anyway. That's not the attitude I'm promoting. I'm promoting more the attitude, let other people speak into your life in making decisions. What is the motive? I have made some wrong decisions in my life. And I don't want you to do the same thing. Experience. Number five. How should past experience inform my decision? What happened the last time that I did something similar to this? We can think of Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So don't do that. Right? 2 Peter talked about the people that know the Lord's way and they turn their backs away from the path of righteousness. And he says it has happened to them, this proverb, that they have returned to their own vomit. So a fool returned to his folly. Don't make that happen to you. Learn from your experience. Right? I know sometimes we say this saying, you know, they can get us once, but not twice. If you get, they get you twice, I forget the little saying there. But you know it better than I do. The point here is that we need to learn from experience. And some things, you know what, young people? We can learn from the experience of other people. We don't have to go through that calamity that they went through to learn. And that's what I want you to remember, that you don't have to try all the desires of the flesh and all the evil and all the sin of the flesh. You don't have to try that to learn that it's painful. You can see it in other people. Learn from your mistakes. We say live and learn, right? And I hope Ornan is wrong on this one. He said that we mostly live, right? I didn't like that, but he might be right that a lot of times we mostly live, but I hope we can prove him wrong that we can learn some as well. And there's a lot of things that we can think, understand how your family background might affect your thinking. In this point, keep in mind that we are reactionary creatures. Your family background affects you tremendously, and also a reaction to do it as well. So learn from your experiences and don't just react to things. I think Papa Sim covered that last week of being not reactionary like Jeroboam. Sometimes the experience we had, especially for young people, I don't know why I was thinking a lot about young people and making decisions, because whenever you're young, you realize that there's lots of decisions in life. But I was thinking, you know, as a young person, sometimes we react, oh, mom did it that way, so I don't want to do it that way because that's how mom did it. Or the same way over here, you know, we don't want to do it that way because that's how dad did it. And dad didn't know what he was doing, so I'm going to do it a different way. And be careful with that. Be careful that sometimes you will realize, the older you get especially, you will realize, you know what? Well, dad, the way he did it was not wrong after all. So I'm just trying to learn from our experiences. Do the best you can. Sometimes how dad did it was the best way to do it. But sometimes we want to react to that. We don't want to do it that way simply for the motive that we don't want to do like dad did. And that's wrong. Number 6, advice. What is the collective counsel of my community? Ask advice. Proverbs is full of wisdom. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind, is Proverbs 18, verse 2. I think the KJV says, as he who separates himself seeks his own desire, he quarrels against her wisdom. No, that was verse 1. But verse 2 of chapter 18 of Proverbs, let me read it again. I know I'm kind of rushing through here. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. That's a different version of the KJV. I forget exactly how it said in the KJV, and I did not write what version that was. But the point here is that he is revealing his own mind. He has delight in only revealing his own mind. In other words, we are a fool whenever we say, I'm going to do it my way. And forget about what other people are going to say. I'm going to do it however I think is going to be done. And all, I know that a lot of these are connected together. Be very careful with that kind of mentality. Ask advice. Ask questions. The dumbest question is the one that you didn't ask. Sometimes we are scared of asking questions, right? You say, well, you have any questions? Well, I know I have a question, but it sounds dumb. And we even say that, well, this could be a dumb question, but I want to ask it anyway. That's fine. The teachers taught me that the dumbest question is the one that you didn't ask. So go ahead and ask. Ask advice. Now, in this point, I would like to remind you that this is your decision. You're making a decision in life, whatever it may be. Remember the fact that this is your decision. Some of us are very skeptical of giving advice because we don't want to be liable for it, right? Nobody today in this world today wants to be liable for it. None. Right? Wesley was trying to figure out the specs on how to put a chimney pipe the other day, and he talked to this person, to that person, and nobody wanted to say how many inches away from the black pipe that wood has to be, because nobody wants to be liable for it. If you put it at 12 inches and that thing catches on fire, we're going to call them back. Hey, you told us to put it at 12 inches. It's your fault. Well, not really. You were the one that did it, right? My point is simply this. A lot of times we remember, this is your decision. I remember very vividly whenever I asked my dad for advice. You know, I always had this in my younger years, that you like a girl and you should go and talk to who first? Maybe your mom or dad, or maybe the pastor. We normally don't do that. But that's a good idea. Go ask advice. Well, I said, Dad, listen, I got an issue here. There's a young girl there named Joyce, and I like her. And what do you think? And, you know, this or that, and this. And the first thing he told me, he says, you know what? You're the one that's going to live with her. So he put the ball back in my court, right? But he did have give me some advice, some pointers. But I like that advice that he gave me, that he reminded me that this was going to be my decision. Right? Now, I feel very inadequate to make that kind of decision. Thank God I have never regretted that decision, okay? Don't worry. Do pray for us, though. We take prayer. I have asked many people, many preachers, especially in my younger years of in the ministry, I used to ask different preachers, how often should I go away from preaching assignments? And almost everybody that I talked to, especially ministers, they gave me the advice and said, you and your wife are going to have to decide that. How often can you handle, or can your wife handle, being at home by herself with the children? But ask advice. I remember an advice that in that subject right there, one lay member gave me. Now, it was nobody from here. Don't you think, point fingers here. But there was a lay member that he told me, don't ever go and have a preaching assignments away from your family. Just wait till you raise your family. They're all old and they get married, and then you have plenty of years. Now, he gave me that advice. And maybe he feels like he wasted his time. But I took that in consideration as well. Should I do that? You know, I talked to another ordained brother about that advice. And he said, yes, but he doesn't realize that responsibility that we have before God to preach the word. Okay? So you see what I'm trying to say is that you're going to ask advice and you're going to get different kinds of advice. And here I will say just a word for you, for anybody, for myself. Whenever we give advice, let's remember that the person is not obligated to do what I told him to do. Sometimes we say, well, don't be asking me advice if you're not going to do what I tell you anyhow. That we are simply one ingredient in his decision-making process. Right? We influence them. That advice that the brother gave me did influence me. It really did. And maybe I should follow his advice more on that than others. But I just hope that nobody feels like if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm not going to give you advice anyway. That I don't see it working out very well in decision-making process. But do ask advice and be careful just not to ask advice for the people who agree with you. It's good to get the other side. What is the other side? What other thinking do I need to consider in here? So boys, it's good to ask the mechanics which vehicle to buy. It's good to ask mom and dad what to do. All those things. There's a lot of decisions. Make sure you ask advice. Warnings. Number 7. Have I honestly considered the warning signs? Now, some of those warning signs, we are very easy for us to dismiss them whenever we are in the emotion of it. Right? We remember a poor family in our community in El Salvador one time. There was a lot of scammers, which there still are today. And they offer to get a refrigerator, a stove. Maybe it was just a two of those things. Some people, a lot of people now in our day today in Central America, they do have those appliances. But believe it or not, when I was growing up, a lot of people didn't have that luxury of refrigerator and a stove. And some people, scammers, will come and say, you know what, if you give us $50, I forget the amount, if you give us $50 today, we will deliver them to you in a week, and then you pay the rest. And it was such a good deal that a lot of people got scammed with that, you know, because it was super cheap. Well, remember, There are some warning signs. When something sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true. So be careful of things that sound too good. Warnings. There's some warning signs out there. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Here's the verse in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are the ways of death. And young people, while I'm talking to you, preaching to you, remember this. Whenever you're going to be dating, you choose somebody, or the girls, I guess they accept the offer of a young man, and the young man kind of choose who to ask. Remember something here. Always remember, ask mom and dad their advice. If they have questions, if they have warnings for you, take them seriously. Take them seriously. I don't know if many marriages succeeded after mom and dad had a warning. You can think of a couple of illustrations, you know, a couple couples, right? That you knew that their parents were not in favor and where they ended up. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't, you'd never say never, right? That never would work. But I would take it very, very seriously if mom or dad, or mom and dad, have a warning for you. Take it seriously. And take it seriously if Wendell tells you that the engine is knocking as well, right? He probably will be riding a vehicle. Don't think you are an exception to the rule. Don't think that this could never happen to me. That's very typical for us. It happened to her, but it won't happen to me because I'm smart and he's cute and whatever we put in that mix in our minds. It's not going to happen to me. Remember that God's way is the best way. We can think about all kinds of decisions that we need to remember the warnings. Number 8, the outcome. Have I considered the possible outcomes on my course of action? The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his doings. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Do the long math. Add the numbers. Is it going to match? Is it going to come out? Is it going to work out? What are the possible outcomes of my course of action? Some preachers used to say, you need to play the tape to the end. And I know that young people don't even know what tapes are anymore. But there were these little cassettes that you put in a machine and you could play. And you could rewind them or forward. And depending where the story was or whatever, you know. But just listen to it. Listen, play it to the end. And that's just a simple illustration. Just play it out. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to think through things. If I buy this thing, where is it going to take me? If I choose this person, what is that going to look like? Is it going to be a godly home or is it going to be ungodly? Is this choice that I'm making here? Am I allowing this? And some things, this is the problem. A lot of times we go little by little and we don't even know the damage that we're making. There's a verse I was going to read here. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 1. This is for the ladies. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now, what can that be? I don't know. I don't know if any lady that wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to pluck the house to pieces today. Or the home, whatever. You know, maybe it's the home here. No, but it's in little decisions that you're making or doing this and that, you can't be building the house or destroying it. And that is the same for us. There's little things that we allow in our lives are actually affecting the outcome. That's simply what I'm saying. The Bible talks a lot about being sober. And I believe with all my heart, being sober doesn't mean that you be a stoic face and not smile at people. It doesn't simply mean that you stay away from alcohol. A drunkard cannot be sober because he's not in the right mind. But I prefer the idea that sober means that you think your way through it. You're going to make a decision. What are the implications of that decision? And sometimes I know it's hard to predict what is all going to happen, right? But at least you pause and say, okay, how is that going to look like? Where is that going to take me? That sort of thing. And I just want to encourage you. I can be paralyzed by fear on that point. But I want to just encourage you. Some things, you do all your math, you do all your research, you gather all the facts, you ask advice, and the next thing is make a decision. Right? Just go ahead and do it. With the fear of God and the prayer of the Lord, and ask the Lord to bless it and do the best you can. And sometimes it's just a matter of time. You're going to have to look back and see, I should have not turned there. And sometimes we look back and say, that was great. We did the right choice. And sometimes we probably will never know what the outcome was. Point number 9, integrity. Could this decision compromise my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Proverbs 25, verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. In other words, if you compromise, you become that. Like a trampled spring in a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Like a trampled spring in a polluted well. You want to get a good drink out of a well, you want good water, right? I was wishing for Bruton Lovett water at the airport the other day from their fountains. That water is wet, thankfully. But my point here is that the polluted well is like a person that compromises. Person that compromises his integrity is as polluted well. It's not pure water coming out anymore. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Be careful. Don't compromise. Work toward the center rather than to flirt with the edges. Work toward the center rather than flirt with the edge. Keep on your integrity. Do not compromise. And the last one. The impact. Is there a better option that would allow me to make a greater impact for God's kingdom? How is this going to impact my life? How is this going to impact my testimony to other people? How is this going to help my family to build kingdom? How is this thing that I want to buy, is that going to bring honor and glory to God? How is that? Ask your questions that you need to ask. Ask yourself, what story could God be writing? And don't assume that just because something is hard, that is not God's will. Matter of fact, a lot of times I have found out that the hardest decisions or the hardest course might be the right one. So please, be careful on the decisions that you make. And I hope that this can be helpful for you to make decisions. Don't be paralyzed. I just hope that I didn't scare you to death today to making decisions. Life is full of decisions. I was just amazed at how many decisions. I was thinking about it. You know, we gather as a school board. We make decisions. We have to go to conference meetings, we have ministers' meetings, and lots of decisions that need to be made. We come here, we have ministers' meeting here with the decisions that we need to make. We talk with the wife, and there's lots of decisions that we need to make. And the list goes on and on and on. Business, work. It's just, life is full of decisions. So I hope that this could be like a tool in our hands that we will be making the right decisions for what? To bring honor and glory to God. And may God bless you as you make decisions that are honoring to Him. God bless you.